RNZ Pacific News, Talo Falava, I'm Marama Tipole. Three women MPs have been sworn into Samoa's parliament more than a year after the country's general election. MPs Ali'i Malemanu, Tu'uau, Fa'angasi Ali'i Fiangai, and To'omata Leota had to undergo judicial review after an inter-party dispute over their eligibility. Samoa Supreme Court ordered the Attorney General to swear in the MPs last week in respect to its gender quota laws that allocates five seats to women. RNZ Pacific's Samoa correspondent Joyeta Fiangai Ma'ali'i told Pacific Waves that many view the event as a landmark occasion.
I would say that it's a new era for Samoa, a historical day as well, where three women members of parliament were sworn in. I could honestly say that the feeling is overwhelming. I see on social media where women are just promoting this significant event as well as men.
A three-day state funeral is underway in Papua New Guinea for the country's Deputy Prime Minister, Sam Barcell, who along with his protection officer died in a car accident last Wednesday. His coffin has been taken to the Papua New Guinea's National Stadium in Port Moresby, where the public have been invited to pay tribute. Barcell's death has shocked the country, which occurs as the country nears a general election scheduled next month. Scott Wade told Pacific Waves four military honours were given to Barcell.
PNG Defence Force members carried the coffin. The Prime Minister was there, including all the cabinet members, and the Prime Minister gave a speech just basically outlining what an honour it was to work with Sam Barcell.
The Samoa government has started paying a monthly benefit for people who have registered with disabilities. This is under a $1.1 million grant scheme promised during election campaigns for the 2021 general elections. The Samoa Observer reports that more than 900 people have been approved by Cabinet to receive the new benefit. A representative from the Nua Nua Olealofa organisation confirmed close to 500 of their registered members received the subsidy earlier this month on Mother's Day holiday. Minister of Finance Mulipola Anarosa Ale Molio'o told E Whakasa TV2 last week that 902 people with disabilities have been endorsed by the Cabinet to access the benefit. Mulipola says there are some issues with the scheme, but she's encouraging the public to seek help from the Ministry of Women, Community and Social Development, which run the scheme. People on Ōwhiwhin Olasinga in the outer islands of Manua have been alerted to two positive cases of COVID-19 on the island of Ōwhiwhi. The Acting Clinical Director of Health, Dr. Elizabeth Lauvau, says the cases are unconfirmed until tomorrow, as any new cases that develop in a 24-hour period since the last COVID report are confirmed the following day. Both Ōwhiwhi and Olasinga have been COVID-free until now. 2 weeks ago, the first cases of COVID-19 were recorded in the Manawa Island group on Ta'u. The US president has laid flowers at a makeshift memorial for victims of Buffalo's mass shooting and met families of the victims. Joe Biden, joined by his wife and New York State political leaders, visited the memorial set up near the supermarket where 18-year-old Peyton Gendron shot 13 people, killing 10. Authorities say the mass shooting was race-motivated. Mr. Biden called on all Americans to reject the poison of white supremacy. New Zealand is yet to receive a substantial response from Solomon Islands about its security pact with China. The agreement, revealed last month, took the government by surprise, and the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has called it gravely concerning. The Foreign Affairs Minister Nanaia Mahuta says there's been engagement at a senior official level over the pact, but no substantial response regarding the detail and nature of it.
Not to the degree that we will feel confident as we go forward into having a conversation in, within the Pacific Island Forum. And in fact, I'm on the record as saying and still maintain that these discussions of Pacific security should be a matter for the Pacific Island Forum.
Nanaia Mahuta says she intends to raise the matter with the Pacific Islands Forum. Former Australian rugby superstar and captain David Pocock says Pacific Island nations are canaries in the coal mine for Australia's inaction against climate change. Mr. Pocock, who is contesting as an ACT independent Senate candidate in federal elections, told the Emergency Pacific Climate Security Summit in Canberra on Monday that the Pacific community is crying out for action. He says as a close neighbour and a major per capita emissions emitter, they've looked to Australia for leadership.
However, when they've looked our way, what they have seen is division, denial, and now delay. They've seen climate action politicised and stalled for over a decade. They've seen prime ministers rise and fall over clean energy policies. And they've seen a senior minister joke about rising sea levels in the Pacific.
Mr. Pocock says there's little doubt this hostile stance on climate change and the threat to Pacific communities has had a significant impact on relations. He says it's problematic of the lack of care, attention and respect the Australian government offers its island neighbours. A Samoan social worker has a message for the New Zealand government ahead of the budget announcement. Social worker Tu'alepai Luella Thompson-Inda wants a long-term plan and lasting solutions, not just quick funding boosts, in order to address issues of poverty, health and education for Pacific communities in New Zealand. Ms. Thompson-Inda says she's witnessed a lot during her experience on the front lines and urges the nation's government to take note.
It's not enough that you just do a topping off and think it's a token gesture and think it's done. And also look at us as quite diverse. There's diversity in there. You can't put it all in the same basket. We need to have more Pacific providers in health and education.
The United Nations has voiced concern over how North Korea is handling its first reported coronavirus outbreak. The world body's human rights office in Geneva urged Pyongyang to open up channels to receive humanitarian assistance. The BBC's Imogen Fox reports.
North Koreans are largely unvaccinated. The country closed its borders in 2020 at the start of the pandemic, but has refused any outside help. Now a strict lockdown is in place and ordinary families are confined to their homes. The UN has called on Pyongyang to ensure restrictions respect human rights. That may be a vain hope. But the UN is also offering immediate humanitarian help to North Korea's struggling healthcare system.
French Polynesia's newest domestic airline, Air Moana, says it hopes to launch its first flights in September. The carrier, which was set up by local company Natireva last year, obtained an operating licence in December and planned to start services in April. The airline has been authorised to transport goods and passengers and plans to eventually fly to 21 destinations, employing more than 200 people. The Queen has made a surprise appearance at a ceremony to mark the completion of a long-awaited London train line named in her honour. Her public engagements have been limited in recent months due to mobility issues. Elizabeth, wearing a bright yellow hat and coat and using a walking stick, was joined by her youngest son Edward and Prime Minister Boris Johnson as she unveiled a plaque at Paddington Station. To sports, two Samoa players will debut in the upcoming legs of the HSBC Sevens in Toulouse and London at the end of this month. The players are Ati Junior Ati and Nueli Morlesi Le Tufia, both of the Lauli'i club. 20-year-old Ati was one of two players called by the head coach, Muliangatele Brian Limar, to join the training squad in Dubai, anticipating injuries ahead of the upcoming legs of the highly competitive Rugby Sevens tournament. Also rejoining the 13-man squad is co-captain Melanie Matavau from injury, as well as Steve Onosai and Paul Scanlon, who missed crucial matches of the Vancouver leg of the tournament. Other than co-captain Melanie Matavau, who was the Manu 15's halfback, the team is made up of mostly locally based players, and the team's first outing in Singapore and Vancouver showed a lot of promise, despite having just played at this level of international rugby. The Manu Samoa 7 squad for the upcoming Toulouse Sevens and London Sevens legs of the HSBC World 7 Series 2022 was announced by the head coach. Prince William has offered praise and support to Jake Daniels after the Blackpool forward came out as gay, saying he hoped the groundbreaking decision would serve as an inspiration. 17-year-old Daniels is the first active male professional football player in Britain to do so since Justin Fashanu in 1990. Eritrea's Biniam Girmay became the first black African cyclist to win a Grand Tour stage after coming through a packed group with an impressive sprint to claim stage 10 of the Giro d'Italia. Spaniard Juan Pedro Lopez retained the overall leader's jersey. And Rafael Nadal has moved to ease concerns about his injury problems ahead of the French Open, posting a picture of himself training with the caption, "See you on Wednesday, Paris." That's news and sport on RNZ Pacific. You can listen and read more online at rnzi.com.